That's right here on Below the Belt Show, our first special guest of the evening, the lovely and talented actress extraordinaire, Alicia Rotaru on the line. What's up, Alicia?
Hey, how are you? I'm good.
Good to have you on Below the Belt Show. You're, first of all, I am completely impressed by your body of work.
Thanks.
I mean, you've been all over the CW Network. The CW Network must love you.
Yeah. I hope so. I think so.
Supernatural, Arrow, Smallville. But I guess it has a lot to do with the fact that you are, you're from Vancouver, British Columbia, yeah?
Yeah, I'm actually here right now, in fact.
Mm. Al was just saying he wants to go there.
Good old homeland.
Nice. I love Vancouver, British Columbia, just from what I've heard, because I've never been there, but I do hope to mark that off my bucket list one day. But I am so amazed by the talent that's come in the productions that have come into Vancouver. And from what I hear, just knocked Atlanta off the list for the number one productions. I guess Canada as a whole, but including Vancouver. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's busy up here, that's for sure.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. And, of course, the CW Network is all about all those great productions that you guys do as part of the Arrowverse. I guess out of all those projects that you've worked on, what has been the most rewarding for you?
I mean, they all have their different highlights. Arrow was probably my biggest run. Of course, being on it for the whole season was phenomenal. So that was, I think if I'm going to compartmentalize it with that would probably have to be it, just because I got to play on that set with that crew for a year. So that was not the most, I wouldn't say like the most memorable or like whatnot, but it was the most long-lasting.
Nice. And now you played Stephen Amell's love interest, Tayana Venediktov. Is that right? Did I pronounce that right?
Sounds close.
way to hit the T in the middle there.
I helped him out with it.
Yeah, we have a Ukrainian in the studio. She helped me with the pronunciation of that.
Excellent.
Nice. How did you like working with Steven? He just seems like a really cool, really nice, awesome dude.
Yeah, he's rad. I mean, he was the only like lead cast member that I worked with throughout my time there, so we got to spend a lot of time together, but also like not a lot of time together, if you know what I mean, because a lot of the work just happens so quickly. Like you're in, you're out, you get the stunts done, you get the scene done, and you move through. But as a human, he's amazing. Like, I mean, he helped me beyond just being on set with the rest of my career as well, and it's just so fun. Like, you know, sometimes after set, we'd all go for a beer, and like Jared Padalecki would come join us, and it was just cool to hear those guys talk about where they are in their work at the level they're at. It's kind of like, you know, it's almost an awe sometimes. Like,
you know,
okay,
it's
doable.
Funny. So this is Lion Beckwith.
Hey.
I was looking at your portfolio, and it's funny because like, so you're obviously very attractive, very
pretty
woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I like how you just got your voice deepened. That was just swag coming out. Oh, thanks. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I apologize for their awkwardness.
That's not awkward.
Uh-huh. So my question to you is, so when you first got in, was it one of those things like, all right, you're really pretty, you know what I mean, this is something that you were pushed, like, you should get into acting because you're really pretty, or was it, like, something within you that was like, you know, I really want to act? And this is a two-part question, so that's the first part. The second part is, is that once you got in, because I noticed a lot of your roles in the beginning was, like, pretty girl, sexy woman, so on and so forth. When you got to that point, how was it? What did you do to break out from just being that woman and showing that the tech? Because you are very talented and was able to show your talent and you're more than just a pretty face.
Snap.
To answer your first part, I think what happened is I hate using the phrase "it just fell into my lap" because it didn't. Like, everyone works hard. I still work hard. But it's more the idea that I was in training in university. I did my theater degree at the Simon Fraser University here in Burnaby in Vancouver. And then I didn't really think of making acting a career. Like, I guess I knew it was possible, but I didn't really think it was, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, it wasn't my highlight. Like, I originally was going to school for psychology and, like, gonna go do that Euro thing that my parents were always like, you're gonna be a doctor, you're gonna be a lawyer, you're gonna be
right.
a fucking shrink. And then so I was just like, okay, I can't do math. Like, I can't do it. Like, third year statistics, dropped out, switched majors to theater, graduated, great, bye. And then I went to go work in a medical clinic. Like, I was in the workforce, like, you know, like, but in the service industry as well. So I did get scouted. Like, I got a guy who came up to me and was like, yo, like, you should, we should go on a date. And I was like, yo, you're a patient at the clinic. That's gross. I can't do that. And then he left. And then he came back 5 minutes later and was like, okay, fine, but here's my brother's card. He's an agent. You should meet him. So that's how it happened. And then
wow. Good job.
That's how it should have been.
We signed me right away, and I liked his vibe, and I was with him for 7 years of my career.
Wow.
He was my first agent. And
how jealous was the other guy about that?
Oh, that was his brother. It was his brother.
I know, yeah. Even more jealous, right? Like, God dang
but,
it.
Well, like, my agent was gay.
Oh, well, he was not jealous at all then.
No.
Right. He was just happy to see you around. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool. And then that's how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I still worked hard. Like, I had the training from elementary school, from theater, in university, and like, I was a competitive pianist for my entire youth.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so I was comfortable kind of being under that heightened pressure of, you know, like, work your tits off, play hard, work hard, reap the rewards, but then be humble about it and keep practicing. You know what I mean? Like, I had that kind of weird militant training from the other things I grew up with. So that's that. Like, and then I guess to answer the second part of your question, I mean, I'm still working on it. Like, my agents now are still trying to cultivate a new direction for me within the craft. I mean, yeah, you looked at my repertoire, and if you looked at everything that I played, I'd say the majority of it is a hooker, is a call girl, is a pretty girl, is something maybe, I don't know. I don't want to say without substance.
You know,
but yes.
Honestly, I've watched a couple of things, and not everything is like that, because some of the things that you are showing range in,
so thank you, because that is, you know, I think the fault that could happen, where you could get boxed into your, you know, box,
mm-hmm.
and I'm more than comfortable doing that. It's not an issue. It's more like, if you're going to be in the box, be the best in the box. You know what
there
I mean?
There you go.
Own the box.
But then also own it and, like, be comfortable with it. But I knew, and my team knew, that I could do more. And I do more, which is kind of also a fault in a way as well. You know, with scheduling conflicts, it's like a fault, right? But it's now branched me out into the other avenues of my career, which takes over the majority of my life now, which is voiceover work.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about your voiceover work, if we could. I see that you've done numerous projects, including My Little Pony, Lego Star Wars, commercials for Nordstrom, McDonald's, and also FIFA 19. You've done some video games. Echo Combat from Oculus Rift. So, So how did the voiceover stuff happen?
Once again, it is that moment where I, you know, took the lead, went to a party with my agent, was seen and I guess heard by the right person. And they brought me in for a casting, for a voiceover casting, and I ended up booking one of my first castings with this guy, and it was an international campaign for Crayola.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a commercial, and I haven't stopped booking since.
Wow.
It just kind of evolved. Yeah, but it's once again, it's like, you know, I had somebody kind of see it, hear it, bring me in, and I brought it. You know, when I went in, it wasn't just me flopping around. And then learning how to navigate that world, because I didn't take voiceover classes.
Right.
I didn't know any of that. I was literally, what's that phrase where you learn on, we're learning on the job, right? Like, mm-hmm. I literally had to learn on the job in the booth, mimicking and watching and, like, kind of faking it till I was making it. And wow. Still am in a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these technical things that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's the distance between your face and the mic? And what is popping a pee? And what is this thing in front of my face that looks like pantyhose? And, like, all this stuff. So, and acoustics in a room. So now I'm still learning that, right? Like,
wow.
It's so vast, like, how much you don't know. Like, and then how much you have to keep working at it.
Well,
so,
well, you got it, because you're a Scorpio, so we're fast learners. Team Scorpio.
Leo's in the house.
My birthday is November 14th.
Okay, there you go. Nice. So with these voiceover projects, do you have obviously have to put on a different type of voice? Or like, do you channel any different type of voices when you do My Little Pony, for instance?
I mean, yeah, My Little Pony was not very far from what you're hearing right now. Like, okay. I've had an interesting, and I think a lot of people have an interesting outlook on, like, VO, where they're like, oh, change your voice to sound like Bugs Bunny, or change your voice to sound like a decrepit beast or whatever. And it's fine, and you can do that, but my career has actually been kind of based around what you're hearing now, like this voice print.
Okay.
Just throwing in accents, pitching it higher, pitching it lower, and yeah, having fun sometimes. But it's maybe I'm a little, pun intended, unicorn, because that's what I played on My Little Pony. But I haven't really been asked to deviate much from my print of what you hear now. And I felt, I'm not bothered by it. I kind of enjoy that. But it's also, I think, I'm not trying to box myself out by saying this, but, like, I don't really have a burning urge to voice like a 7-year-old boy. Do you know what I mean? I would much rather.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems like it's
get down and dirty, wear my face off, and, like, talk about balls on Big Mouth or whatever.
Yeah. And, like, nice.
You know, like, I that's where my humor sits, and that's where I think
you're comfortable.
But it's also, like, uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? Because you are voicing weird ass material like that, which I haven't had the luxury to do yet. So there are different things, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, like...
That's a typical conversation with Saturday night out with the girls, though, isn't it?
Say that again.
That's a typical conversation, like on Big Mouth, that you have out with your girls on a Saturday night, right?
Totally. And that's, like, I don't know, you guys, obviously, have you seen that show, I hope, but it's, it's legit what we were doing in high school and what we were talking about.
Right.
Beautifully executed.
So let's talk about this film you actually produced called Forward with director Steven Sawchuk. It's a 90s set horror comedy short film, which has been making some buzz in some film festivals, I'm reading here.
Yeah, it's, I guess you could say it's an international award-winning film.
Wow.
It's won awards in the States and in Canada, so that's cool.
Uh-huh.
We've had the pleasure of knowing each other, Stephen and I, for over a decade. He's one of my best friends. And a few years back, we decided to, utilize our downtime with more creative energy and make films. So we started with another film called The Wall that we produced with another colleague of ours, Daniel Baker, and then him and I decided to make our own project off of the genre that we are obsessed with, which is horror, and then obviously being so funny, we wanted to make it a comedy too. So,
nice.
He wrote and came up with the concept of this film, Forward, which is based on the idea of the old chain mails we had, where if you didn't forward the email, you die, like the murder.
Right, bad luck would ensue, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it was fun because it was, he really wanted to give homage and honor one of our favorite horror movies, which was Scream. And
yes.
It's been nice to hear the reception at film festivals kind of like saying that it had that vibe. So I think we felt really happy about it. You know what I mean? Like, we were like, okay. And actually, this month is our year-long festival run. We started showing the film about end of September last year in festival circuits. And I think we're waiting for one more in London, England to show our film.
One more in London. Okay, so eventually, will this be available on online platforms, on-demand platforms?
We don't know. Like, because it's a short film and it is a very niche genre, like, it's not just horror, like, slasher porn. It's not just comedy. It's, like, horror comedy, but also not, like, ha-ha, big mouth, funny, dirty comedy either. Like, it's very specific. So, I don't know. I guess we have to kind of figure out how we can market it, who wants to buy it. If there's an airline out there that's listening, they'll have to put us in their, like, short film series on the plane.
Oh, wow.
Something like that would be cool. I don't know what's out there for distribution yet, because we still want to... We just got to get it out of the festival circuit. Well,
you know what?
Before we go that way.
Nice. It's interesting, because we had a guest on. I don't know if you know Alan Malinando. But
should I creep him?
Yeah, well I'm gonna tell you why, because he does
the last OG.
He has an app that is specifically for short films that he has made a platform for. Yes. So if I was you,
that's right. He did do that.
Yeah, if I was you, you can tell him, like, you know, you were on the Below the Belt show.
I just found him. Okay.
Yes, and he's very successful, very successful guy. But reach out to him, and let him know, you know, you were on Below the Belt show, and you know, we Al Soto, Lion Beckwith, we you know, suggested it, because he has a whole platform for short films. He has an app and everything.
So
I would reach out to him. And matter of fact, a lot of his shorts that he puts on his app, you get paid from when people download it. So.
Oh, that's sick. Maybe you should shout him out on our interview here and then tag him.
All right.
Like Alan Maldonado.
Alan Maldonado. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Alicia, I'm seeing awesome. Two huge films on your IMDb that are in post production. One called The Buddy Games, Olivia Munn, Dax Shepard, Josh Duhamel, Kevin Dillon. Seems like an all star cast. Are you allowed to talk about the film and your role?
Yeah, I mean, there's not like a lot that I have to really say on it yet. I haven't. All I can say is that it was fun. Worked with Josh one-on-one. He directed me.
Oh, nice.
I got to meet the other guys, the crew, Dax, Jason, all those dudes on the day. My scene with him, it was like a little, you know, button scene for the feature. But honestly, he was amazing. He directed, produced it, helped write it, wrote it, and he was, you know, and I came in, I played with him on, like, the 11th hour, like, legitimately also the 11th hour, and, like, the last day of production. And it was tough. Like, it was, like, 4 or 5 in the morning, and we were shooting, and he was still, like, super positive and focused and lovely, and then gifted us all jackets that were embroidered with the Buddy Games on it.
Cool. The synopsis, like, sounds pretty good. A group of friends reunite to play the Buddy Games, a wild assortment of absurd physical and mental challenges. Cool.
Yeah, so it's like this thing that they all get together and do. It's like, I wasn't there for those shoot dates, but I heard they were hilarious.
Nice.
Like, almost like Jackass hilarious.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm as excited as everyone else to see it, because, I mean, the script sounded hilarious.
Nice.
So hilarious.
Just to throw in there real quick, that app is called Everybody Digital.
Say that one more time, please.
The app that I was talking about from Alan, the app is called Everybody Digital.
Everybody Digital, creeping on it now. Awesome. Thank you.
No problem. We are here to help.
Yes.
At the Below the Belt Show.
We're advisors and hosts. Go figure.
Where are you guys, actually?
We're in DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Baltimore, Maryland, specifically.
What?
Yeah, but we never shot anybody before, though.
They're in Virginia.
Yeah.
My whole family's here on the couch. My mom,
hey, tell them I said hey.
What's up?
What's up, guys?
Yeah. My mom's like telling my boyfriend to be quiet. So I'm like, your shishes are louder than him walking around.
You have another big film called Cold Pursuit with Emmy Rossum, who we love from Shameless, Liam Neeson, Laura Dern. Wow, what a cast. You play a waitress in this, I'm reading.
Yeah, as you can see, there's not a lot of women in the film, and there, the bigger roles obviously were offered out to those ladies you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I was very fortunate to just land that role. And it was, once again, another super simple, sweet character, super simple, sweet scene, but it just kind of ties together the film. I sadly didn't get to work with Liam Neeson one-on-one, but I did get to say hi to him.
There you go.
Around the trailer. And it was awesome. Yeah, and that movie is actually being taken off of the film. I think it says there on IMDb. I can't recall it off the top of my head, but it was originally titled Hard Powder.
Hmm. Ah. So a little name change.
Yeah, and it was, let me see if I can creep on it quick, because it's a beautiful film from the Netherlands that they redid, and it was about this gentleman who, Liam Neeson's character, who has his son taken away from him, and he goes on this epic revenge spree.
Why does people keep taking people from Liam Neeson? Like, have they not learned from
from the Taken movies?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like
a good question.
It's like when someone sees him, they just say, "You look like a man that should be having a family member taken from you." Like, you look perfect for that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you could play this with your eyes closed.
Right. And one more film we'd like to talk about is Dead Again in Tombstone, alongside with your favorite actor, Lion, Danny Trejo.
I love Danny
Trejo. What was your experience working on that film and with Danny?
Honestly, I could talk about that for an entire interview for, like, 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're going to have to...
just book me in for, like, 80 more times. That whole process in itself, like from the audition to the day we wrapped, was, you know, you asked me earlier about like what's the most memorable role, and we were talking about TV and CW, but I would have to say, like, to date, just that film, like the entirety of that whole film, from pre-production to production to like the post of what they did, you know, like, first of all, Danny's amazing and such a nice guy. So fun and focused, and I mean, he's my dad's age. He's 73.
Wow.
And he is still a badass. Not a badass. You know what I mean? Like, he's so lovely. Like, my family came to visit me on set. My boyfriend came. Like, he was just, like, so welcoming and so positive, and everyone, like, I don't know. But then, yeah.
He
but
sounds
then he,
just
like,
a good human.
And, like, I'm Danny Trejo. Like... I'm riding a buffalo.
Which might not be hard to believe with Danny Trejo.
What was that?
I said, which might not be that hard to believe with Danny Trejo. Like, I feel like I wouldn't be too surprised to see him riding on a buffalo or a bull.
Oh, no. I think there's a photo of him on it up on the IMDb page.
Nice.
Case in point.
We can see this film on demand on a platform, I imagine.
I believe so. I believe it's still out there. I mean, I have like a few DVDs because that's how I watched it, because I'm old school.
Yeah. And send me one. Send me a DVD. I'm like the next Danny Trejo anyway. Like, that is me.
Love it.
You're 73?
No, I'm the young version of it.
Yeah, all right, the younger
when,
version.
When you see a picture of me, you're gonna be like, yeah, that's a badass. Like, yeah, you know. Well, you'll see me in Wonder Woman 2, 2020. I'm principal role. I opened up.
No longer movie. 2019, but 2020.
2020.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So
look, killing it.
Yeah. Lion Beckwith, remember the name.
But we'll always remember your name, Alicia Rotaru. We thank you so much for calling in the Below the Belt show. You have some amazing projects. Of course, hopefully we'll get a chance to see Forward, and of course, your upcoming movies, The Buddy Games and Cold Pursuit, and of course, all your amazing work on the CW network. We can catch on Netflix, on demand, anywhere. So, Alicia, thanks so much for talking to us here on Below the Belt show. And if you could, before we let you go, let us know who you are, throughout some of your projects, and then say you're on Below the Belt show, and end with a catchphrase or a plug.
Hey, everybody, this is Alicia Rotaru. You're listening to me at Below the Belt, and you can catch me live right now on the new FIFA 19 game, as well as in Echo Combat, virtual reality, and also stream me on Netflix on Arrow Season 4. Hashtag, it's happening.
Yes. Awesome. FIFA 19. Awesome. That is exciting.
Thank you.
Awesome. We can't wait to check it out. Thanks so much, Alicia.
It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ciao.